And this time referring to the whole portion, but Acts 20 and verse 32. In that connection, could we just quietly bow a word of prayer? Father, thank you again for the privilege you've granted in allowing me to be back with the saints here at Bellevue. We thank thee for them. We thank thee for your grace shown here. And we thank thee for your word, that ever so precious, ever so true. We thank you, Lord, that is able to build us up. So bless all the saints here today, that they may rejoice in what you have done, you did for them on Calvary's cross, and you may share that word with others. Help us, O God, just to prove you day by day in our lives, as we look forward to that wonderful time when we shall be transformed to be like you and with you forever. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 20 and 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Acts 20 and 32. And the Lord will bless our hearts, his word. This was part of a farewell message from the Apostle Paul to the saints, to the elders at Ephesus, elders of Ephesus, at a place called Miletus. It's wonderful that he should speak of the word of his grace. What right did Paul have to talk like this? When writing to the Corinthians, he said, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. And each one of us here could say the same thing. For who was Paul? The scripture, Paul said when writing to Timothy, I am the chief of sinners. When he examined himself and saw the hatred he had for other men, for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, when he considered his own personal pride and pig-headedness, as it were, as he stuck to doing what he thought was right. And he considered that God did not forsake him, but pursued him and won him to himself, and more so transformed him. When I look at this farewell message to the elders at Ephesus, I'm very thrilled. Because in the message, we see a few things. We see what God did with a man. We get a glimpse of the type of work he carried on. We get a glimpse of the messages he preached. You see, Paul was deeply conscious that it's God that worked in him both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. That all he did and all he was not because he himself was wonderful, but because God did the work in him. We too, if you know Christ and you're living for Christ, can also say, by the grace of God, we are what we are. If you don't know Christ as Savior, then a little bit of trouble, you see. One of the songs which you sang this morning was, he that believeth hath everlasting life. It's an awful thing for someone, you're lying down there and someone says you're dead when you're alive. But when Jesus says you need life, it's because you're dead in sin. And that's the point about it. God's grace is reaching out to every one of us. He doesn't want to have a hope so salvation. I guess as you are to the end of the road. God wants you to know so right now. The verse in John 6 and 47, Jesus says, "He that believes in me has everlasting life." I was speaking in one of the days to a lady who was going to, I think, the Seventh-day Adventist church, and they can't really say for sure they have life. They hope to get it, because any person that does work to get life can't be sure of life at all. You hope that things will work out well. And reminded me of the story, Brother Chapman gave me this verse, Acts 20 and 32. And he also told a story which I think Brother Wade told in part some time ago, of the private in Napoleon's army that who stood there as Napoleon was reviewing his troops. And Napoleon slackened the rein of his horse, and the horse was about to bound away, and the private dropped whatever it is and grabbed this horse. And Napoleon said, "Thank you, Captain." The boy responded, "Of which regiment, sir?" Napoleon says, "Of the Emperor's own guards." The boy didn't look back. He started marching down the road to the army is coming up. The regiment is coming up. The sergeant on his horse said, "Whence comes this fellow?" The young man said, "As captain of the Emperor's guards." "Who said so?" "He said so." That is all about it. We are sinners, every one of us. But when Jesus says so, then we recognize how weak and sinful we are, and we can't make it. And we come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He does a marvelous thing for us. He saves us and gives us the joy and the peace now that everlasting life is your portion. This was Paul's experience. With this transformation, he gave himself to the sharing of this simple word of God's grace. Now let's look at this chapter. How often did he do it? This was this man. He said here in verse 18, last part, "After what manner I have been with you," so "you know from the first day that I came into Asia, and after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." And that got me thinking, you know. He's not a type of two-faced kind of guy. He was the same guy morning, noon, and night. The same guy with Mr. Jones and Mr. Harry and Miss. He was just on the level at all seasons. The next verse says, he did that serving the Lord, submitting to the Lord, doing the things that God said. And if you and I are to do the things that God say, if we are to do the things that God say, what must we know? We must know what God is saying. We must know it. Therefore, there is no reason why we should not be, each one of us, students of God's Word. The verse in 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I think modern translation, instead of having study, they say, "Give diligence." It's not a casual thing where God's word is concerned. Because if you are to serve God, if you are to serve the Lord, they've got to know what the Lord says. You've got to know what He wants to please Him. In Psalm 126, it says, as the eyes of the servant look upon the hand of their master, as the eye of the maiden on the hand of the mistress, so our eyes wait upon thee, on the Lord our God, until He have mercy upon us. Psalm 123 and verse 2. You look to Him. When the master says, "Come," you come. If you're not looking, you'll miss that call. If you're not listening to Him and reading God's word, you won't know what exactly you should do to please Him. It's not enough to be satisfied with what you read 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 10 months ago. I know that story well. It's not enough. If we are to serve Him, let us listen always to His voice for directions. We learn. We profit from it. But it's not just a little strength of verse stuck in there. Where it says, look at verse 19 again. Serving the Lord, what? With all humility of mind. This was the man Paul, the man. We've got to ask God to give us humble hearts in whatever we do, whether we're baking a cake or preaching a sermon. We've got to ask God to give us humble hearts, because Satan is a subtle scamp. I mean, which one is stronger? What's that? He fills the heart with pride. He plays upon what we want. You are great. But Paul said, he served Paul with humility of mind. There's not something your mother can see, your father can see, your husband can see, and the brother sitting next to you can see. It's your heart. Therefore, ask God in whatever we do to give us humble hearts. Check out second chapter of Philippians chapter 2 for that. So let's just move on. And this is the man Paul, and with many tears. That's a funny thing. I don't do it often, you know, but it's not a bad thing sometimes if things are wrong to cry. Nobody gives you a medal for being macho. It's something, get before God and talk to Him about it. He mentioned tears in a strange way in verse 31. Maybe situations in the assembly, maybe situations in the home, maybe situations in other places that God has brought to your heart. He said here, he was encouraging, verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears." Even as he spoke to them about things that will happen, his heart was unbroken and he cried. This was the tenderness of this man. It's why writing to Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "Be tender hearted. Be tender hearted." You don't very find that quality sometimes in our age, being tender hearted. But God wants you to empathize with others day after day. Be tender hearted. And love brings that tenderness. So ask God to help us to love one another. Simple. Oh, but I love. Fine. You haven't reached the pinnacle yet. So ask God to help you to love. Love Him. Love His Word. Love the brothers and the sisters. And love the work to which God has called you, that you may serve Him faithfully. There's another verse that tells us a bit about who He was. If you go down the line to verse, I don't quite understand all about this, but I have mentioned it nonetheless. Verse 22. Behold, now I go bound in spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I myself my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy. I see a man with courage, a man with determination, as given by this Holy Spirit of God. Take up my cross and follow me. Some people look upon crosses, the worries in this life. This is my cross to bear. The cross of which Jesus speaks is the fact that, as Paul put it in writing to the Corinthians, I die daily. I'm prepared to die for Christ. And this is the attitude you must have. If it comes to that, I'll give my life. And this is the courage. Then if you step down the line, he was a man of industry. Matter of fact, you have something before that. Verse 23 says, he was contented with what God gave him. Remember Philippians? I know how to abound and how to abase. He says, I coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. There was contentment. Then industry. Yea, yourselves know that with these hands have ministered unto my necessities. Not only mine, but to them that were with me. Industry and generosity. All of this, and you can pick up more as you go through, you'll find how Paul was. What God made him after he came to him. This man that took people and pulled them out and beat them, killing some, doing what it is. This was Paul. And God changed this tough man, that the only toughness he has was to press on serving Christ and didn't care what anybody else would do with him. Then, with whom did he mix? Let's go back again and see if you can pick some other things out. How did he function? Look at verse 20. I think I'm going to blend two thoughts here for speed's sake. Verse 20 says, I kept back nothing that was profitable for you. Nothing. He gave the whole truth. He didn't hold back something. It always reminds me of Psalm 40. If you don't quite grasp what I'm saying, check Psalm 40 out. And that's an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave them what they needed. What God gave him, he happily and willingly passed on to the saints. Not only to the saints, but to others too. And how did he do it? I'm blending two things together. How did he do it? And taught you publicly and from house to house. He wasn't a man who was only willing to go on the pulpit and shout a word. Not only going to the synagogue on a Saturday and preach the word. But as he moved along life's way from house to house, in the small corners, in the shops, in his shop and other people, he shared the word from house to house. And we should be doing that too. All seasons, house to house. As Paul wrote to Timothy, what? Be instant, in season, and out of season. Because people need it in season and out of season. I went to Ghana, and this is just what I saw too. People need it. People need it.
People need the Lord, like what the song says. Let's look at it again. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks. He crossed the cultural barriers and the cultural prejudices in sharing the word. The Jews and to the Greeks.
And we got to ask God to help us to do that. Something got to pray about it. It doesn't come naturally. Got to pray about these things. Say the things that God tell us about, we got to pray about. What to pray about? The very things God talked to us about. Pray about it and leave it there.
This is also mentioned in another spot where he indeed reached out to people. Now, Paul broadened this thought of reaching out to the Greeks in verse 30. That almost gives me a shrill. God help it to be with me.
He said, verse 26 rather, I said 30. He said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He just sought to witness to everybody whom he met. That's a great thing. And but one of the things that hindered me this time was I didn't carry enough pieces of paper to that place to share out. So you talk a bit, but I hadn't enough to leave with them. And it bothered me. But God is so good. Towards the end of the airport coming in, I checked my fold in my Bible and I picked up from one of the tracks here, Is There a God? And I gave it to a young, obviously Muslim young man. And he thanked me and thanked me and thanked me. Told me, I'm putting it here. I'm keeping it here. This thank God. And the airport is a place, an amazing place if you watch it keep. I learned a lot. Walk with tracks from any language. Because they're always there. The Chinese are this, the that, they are. Portuguese, from Brazil, from this, tracks from any language. Walk with them. And they all used up. So, free from the blood of all men. Now, what did he say? I mentioned something already. I said that he kept that thing back from them. But let's look at verse 21. The latter part of verse 21, he said to the Greeks, Jews and to the Greeks, he preached repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that thought, repentance. It says, the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he's commanded men everywhere to repent. In other words, if we make mistakes, if we wrong, don't play macho and justify our wrong. Don't ignore it and say everybody does it. Come humbly before God and say we're sorry. That's what God wants. Repentance. Brother Chapman, who gave me this verse, used to say, repentance like going down the street and you see a bad dog, and you stop, and you turn your ways. I have to do it many times in my day. So the point is, if we're heading down the wrong road, stop and turn. But when we turn, the next verse says, not only do you preach repentance toward God, but faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Because faith in him cleanses us from sin. Faith in him puts righteousness upon us. I can't fathom, apart from the grace of God, that verse found in Psalm 32, which says that blessed is the man
whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquity is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Huh? That was only fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And it's quoted in Romans chapter 4. Psalm 32 then quoted in Romans chapter 4. And this is the beauty of it. That when you come to Christ and trust in Him and place your faith in Him, God takes your sin and He gives you righteousness instantly. And that's what gives you peace. That's what gives you joy. That's what gives you hope.
There's a part of Paul's message. The man, his method in reaching out to everybody, and what he preached. A simple, direct message.
And I like that part in verse 27. 27 not only told us what he... Oh, my fuck. I think I jumped too fast, but I'll go back to it. 27 says, I shall not to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The same thing we said when we started. When we started, you point, I kept nothing back from you. All the counsel of God. If you understand all the counsel of God, people come, but full this and full that, check the book out. Read Ephesians and see all the counsel of God. And you also preach according to verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all among you, whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. He preached the kingdom of God. And this is to the Jewish people primarily. This is why Peter and the disciples said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore unto us the kingdom of God? A promise that on the throne of David there shall come a king to reign. It will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. But not now. And the problem there is, you often say in some gatherings of God's people, they forget that God fulfills every promise He makes. And all the promises He made to the patriarchs and to the children of the patriarchs, to the prophets, every promise will be fulfilled. And God will never leave nor forsake His own. He has not cast off His people. He whips them. He will continue to whip them. And we haven't seen the end of that chastisement. For the prophet spoke of the time of Jacob's trouble. It's to come in a future day. But he preached the kingdom of God when He shall reign and they shall live in peace. But He's the king of the whole earth. And He shall rule the earth with a rod of iron. So all of this, you see when Paul spoke, Paul didn't give part of a message and leave out something else. He gave everything. The whole counsel of God. And we must be sure as an assembly, we do the same thing too. Don't let me be comfortable in a little part. I was speaking to a lady in one of the homes I visited, and she was caring for an old relative of the Thoravian. She said, I read the Bible. I read it every day. I said, very good. I said, what do you read? I read Psalm 91 and Psalm 46. And she went on to think of all those Psalm 23 and she could give a few more. And it opened a new conversation. You don't get a whole counsel of God by doing that. It's nice to read those comforting Psalms. Read the scriptures chapter after chapter and ask God to teach you. And any person that seeks Him with true heart, God will not fail to teach you. To those who have His Spirit, you have a plus. He is dwelling in you and He can help to teach you.
If you don't know Jesus Savior, in His grace He can still knock at your door that you may learn. But God is reaching out to you and to me every day. Don't be disobedient. It was a funny thing. He ended up by talking to the elders, and it was kind of tough thing to the elders. No, I don't know. Verse 28. Speak to these elders. He was talking everything to the elders. Gave the example. This is me. He gave how he preached, and they saw it. He told them what he preached, and they saw that. And this is the example. And then he said, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock of God. Who looks after the flock? Who looks after the sheep? The shepherd. So the elders are the shepherds, or Ephesians call them, Ephesians 4 says pastors, but it's the only place that word was translated pastors. It is translated shepherds every other place in the New Testament. He said, take heed, over which God, the Holy Spirit, has made you overseers. And that word, overseers, is the same word that is translated bishops. So the elders are shepherds or pastors, and also bishops, overseers. Now, what do you mean by that? It's a big job. Because Jesus explains this in the scripture, explains this in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at this again. Just don't lose this portion, because I don't want to talk particularly on this subject, but just as we're in it, let's attack it. Let's look at it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, there's a little verse which said there, last verse, ye were a sheep going astray, but now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That spoke of Jesus himself. And that word bishop there, some modern translation won't have the word bishop there. You know what you'll have? Guardian. The overseers are there to protect the sheep. The shepherds are there to make sure the sheep are not trapped by wolves. And they do it in love, not because they're paid. Peter emphasized this in the same letter, chapter 5. Let's look at it. The elders, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Instructions now. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, same word, overseers, bishops, guard, protect, taking the oversight thereof, not because you are forced to, not by constraint, but willingly, not for money sake, but with a ready mind, not being big bosses, not being lords over God's property, but being examples of the flock, that when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. So the only time you get chief pastor is when he refers to Jesus. Nowhere in the book have anything but senior pastor and presiding elder and ark something else. Do ark what ark means chief. Nowhere. This is what God said. When the chief shepherd here, it refers to Jesus himself. We're all priests. We're all serving. One little verse I'm on the subject, on the roll on this point. Let's look at
Yes, our responsibility is now is concerned. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. I'm coming back to Acts chapter 20, the second. I haven't forgotten that. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. And this is the function. For they watch for your souls. As a shepherd watches out for his sheep, so the pastors, the elders, the bishops, the guardians of the assembly, watch for your souls. Don't let them do it with grief. For that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For if they do it with grief, it's unprofitable for you. If you have a child that's resisting the parent every time, you think that parent is very happy? You know who loses? The child loses. Be soft in the hands of God. And be soft in the hands of your parents. And be soft also in the hands of those who love you in the fellowship. Okay? Now, back to Acts chapter 20. And we will stop very quickly as I can after that. It says, God made you overseers to feed the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood. But he didn't buy us from anybody. We discussed it some time ago when we looked at redemption. He obtained us. He acquired us. He wrenched us from the murderer's hand. He didn't buy us from the slave market of sin. He defeated Satan. He is my Redeemer. The same word that is translated in the Old Testament, Redeemer, is also translated what? Avenger. And Jesus, by his method, gave his life on Calvary's cross, and by his death, he defeated Satan. Hebrews 2 and 14. I like that verse. Christ exalting, as it applies to us. Christ exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. So he said, the elder has got his charge of caring zealously for God's children. Because he said, wolves will seek to come and destroy them. You know, I was speaking to a father the other day, and I said, he's an elder by my nephew. And I said, you talk to your children. And when you talk to your own physical children, every bit of advice you give to them, you bring to bear all your experiences at home, at work, all the years. You bring to bear. And when you bring that to bear, you give some advice to your child. And so it is in the fellowship. So it is in the fellowship. As elders, lovingly, patiently, want to see each one of us grow in his grace. So this was the verse Brother Chapman gave to me. A dear brother, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Put together, we hold together for his glory, for our peace, for our joy. Let's feed on God's word. Don't you get it? When God gives you a sweet piece of thing from God's word, don't keep it to yourself. I might need it. Share it with somebody else. When he gives you something, it's not to fill your heart with pride. Share it humbly that we all grow together and grow to know him more. That hymn we sang toward the closing part of our just before break, more about Jesus would I know. It's a lovely hymn. And God wants us to know more about him day by day. Probably what you could do is sing it again. Okay, in closing this morning, this evening.
Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word, and we ask of thee that we may truly rest on you today and always, that, O God, that we may yield ourselves to you and to your word, which is able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Bless all the saints in this hall. Bless all those who hear your word, and give every one of us that deep assurance that faith in you alone brings life and life eternal. So bless thy people. Just praise you for your boundless love. As we sang earlier, God, you sent your Son, and he's the Savior of sinners. The Savior of sinners like us. So, God, we praise you for your love. And we tell you thanks in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You know, by the horse there, more about Jesus would I know. Probably can just sing that one.
Four twenty-eight.
Thank you.